We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I understand the whole concept of therapy may seem a bit uncomfortable for some, but I like to think of it this way. Some of the greatest athletes you know have had a coach to point out to them ways to improve their game. Some of the most talented actors have attended workshops to improve their craft. And some of the wealthiest CEOs owe their success to mentors. What if we thought of therapy in the same way? What if we looked at therapy as another set of eyes to help us figure out how to get to our next level of success? This is not about stigma. This is about strategy. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy can help. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself and turn your scars into your superpower. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and I've Got Scars, Baby listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby. That's betterhelp.com/I've Got Scars, Baby.
All right, so I am excited today for my new guest on the show. Her name is Clarissa Lane, and she is a mom and she is a burn survivor. And so today we are going to talk about hidden versus visible scars. Because, and I like to say in the burns community, we call them hidden scars where you can technically hide them. Like I can button this on up. Mm-hmm. I can have on a shirt that covers up my shoulder. And you would never know that I'm a burn survivor, right?
Right.
But with Clarissa, she has a different type of injury. She has a different type of scar. And so they're more visible. So we're going to just kind of get into, I want to get into your particular story. And because your story will be different than how I deal with my scars. You know what I'm saying? Like there are certain things you just can't hide. So I want to know what life has been like for you. So let's just kind of get started on, you know, when were you burned? What happened? What's your story?
Okay. My name is Clarissa Lane. I was burned at 2 years old, May 5th, 1987. I was burned 77%, third and fourth degree burns with a right thumb amputee. I was in the hospital in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at Forest General Medical Center. And I think I spent maybe 2-3 nights there until they flew me out to Galveston to the Shriners Burn Hospital. And I think my mom told me that I stayed out there a complete 6 months for them to reconfigure my body and for me to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to do just about everything all over.
And what kind of injury did you, what caused the burn? Was it a fire? Was it a
hot water heater explosion? It was one of the older model ones that my grandmother, Dolores, had in her home. And so it fell off the wall because back in 87, they used to put them on the wall. And the bracket broke. So that led to the explosion because once it was gas, and once it hit concrete, it sparked a fire. It sparked up. So me going through school from five was pretty. I want to say it was good because, I went to school with the kids. I may have had maybe one that would pick on me or say mean things. And I attended Holy Family Christian School in Natchez, Mississippi. And as I grew up, my mom always taught me to never cover up because I am who I am, and there's nothing that I can do to change it. So as time progressed and I got into the sixth grade, that's when things started to get really rough for me because you would have my peers to push me down, say bad things to me, not want to be my friend because of my skin. So that kind of made me feel bad. So that's when I started to cover up. In 80 degree weather,
Oh, girl.
wearing long sleeves,
Yes.
school, sweating. Your body is already hot because we have a thickness to our skin now. So I went on sixth, seventh, eighth grade. I was like, I told my best friend, I said, look, I said, we gotta switch a whole nother school, and this is a whole nother ball game. And she will always tell me, she said, your mama say never cover up. I said, but girl, you just do not understand the things that people say to me. And my name in school was Snake because on my arm, they use the netting. And once it healed, it made an impression into my skin. So they're like little blocks. I was called Snake. I was called Dry. We had to wear the Joe compression.
Oh, the bane of my existence. It was horrible.
Yes.
It was horrible. It's like, okay, let me just try to describe it a little bit. It's like having a corset wrapped around your whole body. And now what did I say? I said in my book, I said it smelled like death and despair. It's rubbery terribleness. Wrapped around you, it was okay,
And then they
girl.
had the ones with the Velcro, then they had
Oh,
the ones with the zipper, and then
yes.
I had to wear one on my face.
Oh no, oh no.
Well, my mama had she had to really, really get on to me because that was one I just was not wearing because first I had to wear the clear one
Oh.
with straps around my head. Then I progressed to the silicone. So I had to have the plastic thing, the plastic mask on my face, then the silicones in different areas. Silicone sweat. And I sweat a lot. So that was irritating. So when I had a graft, it would rub the graft down. So they was like, okay, we're going to fit you for a mask. And that means that I had to get my hair braided down to my head and wear this mask with the Velcro thing in the back. Plus my little suit, my little Superman suit, because that's what I called it.
Good God. Okay, yeah.
I had to wear it at the school. When I tell you, I wanted to kill myself because of the things were said to me in the seventh grade. And I told my mom, I said, look, I can wear the stuff that's under here.
Yeah.
But the mask, I can't do that because I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
So then there's when she went back to saying, you can't change who you are. You are who you are. Mm-hmm. And things happen to people for a reason. So I said, I wonder what was my reason. And she couldn't answer that. She still can't answer it today. Then I told her when I got older, maybe in the ninth grade, I said, you know what my reason was for being burned? To show people that no matter what you go through in life, no matter what obstacles that you go through, you can still live and exist at the same time.
Wow.
So, went to high school. I'm not going to tell no story on here. I quit school. I did. I could not take it in the 10th grade because they wanted to label me as special. And they wanted me to go into special needs class and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with my mind. There's nothing wrong with my mouth. And I can read and write and understand. I can read and write and understand everything. But they wanted to put me there. And I just told my mom, I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not. I said, I went to Job Corps in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. I obtained my GED there.
So they only wanted, so they only wanted to put you in special education because of your burn injury?
They had another burn survivor that went to school with me.
Yeah.
And his mom didn't fight for him. And he stuck, they stuck him straight in there. And I became friends with him. And I was like, why are you in special needs classes? He was like, this is what was on my schedule. So I just go. Yeah, they put him in special needs. He was making the test grades. He was making good grades when we were in middle school. So why, when you get to high school, they want to stick you in there just for to do maybe two sheets of work and you watch TV all day? You don't learn like that.
Wow.
So he stayed there. He got a high school certificate. Because that's what they give the special needs. They give them a certificate. They don't give them an official high school diploma.
Wow.
And I told my mom, I said, if I'm going to just get a certificate, I can just go on to Job Corps and get everything that I need there. So I did. I got my GED and I did a trade in retail. I love retail.
Okay.
And when I got, let me see, high school, then I went on and I got my first apartment at 16. Worst mistake ever.
Oh, you just got out there too young?
Yes, it was horrible.
So for you, it sounds to me like you have been through so much just trying to be you. Like, how did you into your adulthood, like early, like your late teens, early adulthood, how did you move into having certain friendships, relationships, dating? How was that for you?
From 17, I became an alcoholic. I drank. From sunup to sundown, I made bad choices of friends. I smoked marijuana, and I still do that today because of the pain, and sometimes try to numb some of the things that I've been through. Relationship-wise, they were a hit and miss. Like, I would date a guy, and I'm very observant, like, very observant. I see nonsense from a mile away. So I'm quick to cut them off. So I dated one guy up until I was 20. And then from 17 to 20, we went to job corps together, but when he got to job corps and was around people,
yeah,
he disowned me. He wouldn't help me with certain things that he normally would help me, like getting the laundry detergent into the building for me and stuff like that, because I can't tote that much stuff with the bags that we had from Walmart. Yeah. And so one day he made the biggest scene about my scars.
Yeah.
And I said, it's mighty funny that you here with me at Job Corps when we was home, you didn't have a place to stay. And I let you stay with me. Mm-hmm. I fed you. I actually uplifted you to go to school. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about my burns because you got a new group of friends.
Yeah.
I said, okay, it's fine. I still went on through. And I just was so done with men. So I tried, you know, I got another friend.
Mm-hmm.
It went well for a while until it's like, you know, when people just date you just for things, or they, you know.
Yeah. So do you feel like in the dating process, have you ever felt like the person really loved you for you?
No.
Do you feel like in your dating process that, not even in the dating process, do you feel like just personally that you fully, 110% fully accepted you, scars and all, and all of that? Do you feel? Yeah. And so, but you feel like generally speaking, people are not receptive of you and, you know, right. Okay.
They make excuses. They'll, you know, they just come up with all kinds of lame stuff. And I'm the type of person, if you got to make them any excuses, just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not dating.
Yeah.
I'm actually raising my son. Mm-hmm. No, he's in the 9th grade. He has some learning disabilities, and we're working with those. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I'm focused on now, because actually trying to date in this society,
I hear it you.
Stressful.
I got you. So I have a question for you. And mm-hmm. So right now,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to have this conversation with you because I feel like life can be a little different when you have hidden scars versus visible scars.
Right.
So for you, when do you feel like you got to the point where you fully accepted all of your scars and you were okay with just kind of being out there and being you and fully open to that?
I want to say 27.
Okay.
But I had to heal because I had a child. So I had to go into the school systems. I had to go to parent-teacher meetings and be there for him for football and stuff like that. So it was rough. But I had to do it, and to completely just love me, it was at 27.
Yeah, got you. So do you think things would have been different if your scars were hidden? If you could put on a t-shirt and nobody would know?
Mm-hmm. I do.
How do you think it would have been different?
Because, you know, when you meet people, the first impression is the last impression. So, like, I'm walking into a building different building.
Mm-hmm.
they see my face and their face expression. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it lights up and they go to talking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can be rude, mm-hmm. or what have you. I don't wear makeup. I'm never going to wear that too much. So, yes, I think if my face and arms wouldn't be burned, people would perceive me different. Mm-hmm. Job-wise, I can't get a job nowhere. And it's because of discrimination. And because I don't want my life in the media, I don't sue. Mm-hmm. I just leave it as is, because maybe working for somebody else is not what God intended for me to do. Mm. Yeah. So that's what I look at it. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
So now that I'm here, I live in Louisiana, and I actually love it here. I'm at peace with myself. I met some genuine people since I've been here. I've did one photo shoot. I'm trying to do another one, but
nice.
You know,
yes,
I got a the lady was telling me that I had to get some more professional clothing. Mm-hmm. I was like, you doing a photo shoot for me? I'm not doing a professional shoot. I just want to be me, show some of my scars. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do this one barefoot.
Yeah.
This time, you know.
Yeah. So for you, what do you feel like it took for you to fully embrace your scars, to want to, I know you said you had to go into meetings and stuff for your son and things like that, but it's also another level of doing a photo shoot. Like I told, like we talked about the photo shoot that I had, and it was one of those things where I'm like wearing things I totally wouldn't wear. I'm like, what, the camera's on, what, my show? Oh, okay. So it was this sense of like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And most of my friends, my mom was like, yes, girl, get on out there and do it. You know what I'm saying? So what for you, what is that feeling inside that got you to the point where you're like, I want to do a photo shoot. I want to get out there. I want to wear what I want to wear. What is that for you?
To be honest, when I went to World Burn, mm-hmm. in Cali, I seen so many different types of burns, like so many. Mm-hmm. And then I seen little kids, and they still touch me to this day, because being burned as a child is horrible. So I came home and I sat down and I talked to my best friend. I said, look, I said, you know, I'm always going places. I'm always doing something. She was like, yeah, you need to slow down. I said, no, I don't. I said, I need to amp it up a little bit. And she said, what you talking about doing? I said, I'm going to do a photo shoot. I said, she said, really? I said, yeah, I'm about to do it. She said, it took you this long to do it. I said, yeah. I said, but you know, it took me this long because I had to heal. Mm-hmm. No, you gotta heal from hearing people. Why you gotta put that on? You gonna show your scars today? Or look at Snake. She got her arms or her legs out. You got to heal from stuff like that in order for it to do a major step in your life.
Yeah.
So I was in a photography group. I thought the group was for, you know, you can find a photographer and do family shoots. But the lady told me that I had to be a photographer in order for to be in the group. Mm-hmm. So then she inboxed me and she asked me, what was I looking for? And I told her I was looking for a genuine person to do some burn survivor pictures, mm-hmm. for me and my son. And so she paid a post, and I reached out to this lady that lives in Picking Union. And so we did the photo shoot. We did four Zoom meetings. She showed me whatever, everything that I needed to do, mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did it at the park. And that was me and my son's first time ever doing anything like that. And it was amazing. I had fun. I laughed. I was ecstatic about the situation mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to do another one. I bought a bunch of dresses.
Yeah.
I bought some more clothes that just came today. So I don't know what I'm going to do. My favorite color is royal blue. So I might mix Inquan Kelly Green. Kelly Green with it. Because mm-hmm. I actually like those two colors together
mm-hmm.
and do it. So it was just a big step for me. But I got a lot of negativity from my pictures. I did. And I looked at the negativity and I turned it into a positive, because on May 15th, I'm doing a strategy session for my web page for empowerment for to help other women that may have hidden scars or may have some type of trauma. It doesn't really have to be burns.
Yeah.
You know, so I can do that for myself and still feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. You said that you received negativity, but I imagine there are a lot of positive remarks as well, right?
Yes, it was a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's my next project, is the web page.
Yeah.
And start speaking, actually traveling. I love to travel.
Awesome. See, what I will say, I have to say, I think it is so powerful when you talk about healing and you not really being ready to have a shoot or to really go and speak and things like that until you heal. I understand that a lot, because for years, I'm a songwriter, but for years I wanted to write songs about my scars. But every time I tried to write a song, it was a sad song. It sounded mm-hmm. so sad and depressed. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. And so I just put it down, but I wasn't able to write the song and complete the song until I actually fully healed. And I think people, that's really important for people to understand, is that there is a level of getting to a space within yourself, where you really are at peace mm-hmm. with you. And you've kind of absorbed a lot of things from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a part of you that's just like, look, it's either sink or swim.
Right.
I'm going to be like happy with myself as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to just be under the bed somewhere because of what everybody else said.
And I refuse to do that.
Yeah. But it's interesting, because sometimes that's the only choice that we have in life, is either we're gonna fully love ourselves into wholeness, or we just gonna be under the bed somewhere. And
right.
being under the bed somewhere, what you under the bed? What's under the bed? Okay, it's exactly. You get all dusty, start coughing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get from under the bed and get out here. And I love that you're looking to do things to help and serve other people as well, because people can really be inspired and encouraged by what you do. And that means not just you specifically, but anybody.
Wow.
When people embrace their scars, that's the whole point of this podcast, is just really embrace whatever it is
mm-hmm.
that's going on with you, because you
right.
have no idea how that can help somebody else.
Right. Your experience or what you're going through can impact somebody's life so major.
Yeah. Like,
you know, so I think being burned is amazing. I don't know no other way. Like, I don't know no other way. It's amazing to me. I actually like telling people what happened to me.
Yeah.
I would prefer to tell you what happened to me than you speculate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I had chemical burns. No.
Yeah. So I love how you said, like, being burned is great. Like, that sounds, to somebody else, that might sound like, what the, what the, what the, what you mean? But
mm-hmm.
you tell me how you what you mean by that, and I'll tell you my perspective.
Me, amazing. I'm an amazing person. I defeated all odds. They said I would die at five.
Mm.
They said I could never have kids.
Mm.
They said my hair would never grow. I have a head full of hair. Wow. I have a child.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually do everything someone else can do. And I probably can do a little bit better. You know, I'm burned and I'm amazing. And mm-hmm. I'm a phoenix. And yeah. I survived it. And I am very, very resilient to Ooh. Live.
Oh,
so I don't know no other way to put it.
You better go ahead and say it.
Yes,
okay.
You know,
you okay. I think it's fantastic that you're saying what you are saying. Let me tell you, okay. because that really is it. I think mm-hmm. that people look at scars, whether it's a physical scar, because obviously the scars aren't just physical. Because it's a lot of emotional stuff that goes on because right. of what happens physically. But that's the thing about scars across the board, whether they're physical or emotional, mental, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. is that it builds up a resilience within you. Mm-hmm. And if you can
chop it off
the stuff that you gotta do, if you can show up every day, it like literally shifts you into a person that is compassionate, they mm-hmm. can be loving, understanding,
yes.
all these different, like you're open, like you want, oh, you see somebody that looks different, like you're not worried about that.
Mm-mm.
You're like, I look different too. What's going on? Let's be friends.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, again, it's not just the physical scars. I want people to understand that if you've experienced trauma in any type of trauma,
right,
it literally has the potential, if you allow it to soften your heart, make you a compassionate person, an yes. understanding person, a loving person. And then it's like, oh my gosh, you understand people, you love people on a different level. That's right. just because you had to learn to love yourself on a different yeah. level.
That's
you had
right.
to force, like for me, it was like I had to force myself to look at myself and to embrace myself and to like who I am. And
right.
that, you know what I'm saying? And that's mm-hmm. work, and that's what we need. So I just want people to know that it does take work sometimes. It takes the work, but the
yeah.
work will pay off. It pays off
big. Mm-hmm.
Because you had to overcome so much.
Right.
Then it's just like, so that's why I do feel like when you have hidden scars, it can take a long time because for you to fully want to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that I can hide.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to show it. But
right.
I want to encourage people that if you don't have physical scars, but something happened to you when you were 6 years old, something
mm-hmm.
happened to you when you were 10,
or right.
whatever it is, I really encourage you to do the work, to look in the mirror at yourself,
That's
to
right.
go back to that, and to love yourself through it. And you can get help too. For you, Clarissa, did you ever have any traditional therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I started therapy on my own
mm-hmm.
because my family, my mom, she didn't believe in bringing outsiders in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, when I got grown and stuff, I said, it's a lot of things that I need to heal about myself.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest issues is sex. I have one of the biggest issues with that
mm-hmm.
because I don't have breasts. And they were burned off and they never grew back.
Wait. I don't know if I heard that properly. You said you have one of the biggest issues with
six.
Yes. And you said because what happened?
I don't have breasts.
Gotcha.
My breasts. And you know, men are so cruel. So I had to deal with that. So I started therapy, I think at 21, and I was pregnant. And I started there. I met some cool counselors. Then they wanted to put me on meds. I am not crazy. I don't have, I'm not bipolar. I'm not none of this. I just need you to listen to me, to give me some advice on how to cope with it. So I had to, they wasn't doing anything at the facility that I went with. So I had to get back on the drawing board, find another one. So bam, I found one, and she was in Texas, in East Texas. And she was great. And she, I'm this type of person. Don't sugarcoat nothing for me. Please don't, because I'm not going to do it. So it was like me talking to me in a mirror, because when I tell you, she said, who the hell cares about breasts? I said, what? She said, the breasts ain't giving them feeling. And I said, huh? I had to look at her. I was like, what? She said, you heard me. She said, who cares about breasts? She said, when you meet the right person, you won't even have to have skin on your back. They're going to love you for who you are, no matter what it is.
Hey.
And from that day on, I was like, you know what? Forget it. But they did give me some breast. They gave me a bra with a breast. That is so irritating. 10 minutes later on, I'm ready to take it off. I hope I'm not at a function, because I go in the bathroom, I take it off, and I put it in my purse. I do. It's just so irritating, because I've never wore anything, you know, up here. So she was like, so what? You living. She was like, if you would still have a breast, you might be bothered with breast cancer. You don't even have that kind of issue. But like I told her, I do have my breasts. They're just, they're inside, and I won't let them cut it out. Because that is like a major surgery. And it's not bothering me. So why mess with something that's not, you know, not bothering me? So then we went on to talk about my left hand. No, that's not my left hand. That's my right hand. It does not close. And it has edema. And edema.
Let me see.
It doesn't close or nothing, and it stays swollen. So I have problems with people staring at that, or have something to say negative, but I still have a hand, and it's my hand. You know, so you either like it, love it, or move on. I cook clean all the time, so my hand still works maybe 10%. I can still do things with it. Now, I ain't gonna even lie, my left feet, I still got a problem with it today. Because it swells, I have to buy men's shoes, and if I wear lady shoes, my feet swell so big to the point where I can't walk. But you know, I gotta look at it like this. I still got my whole leg that I was born with. I still got the same feet God bless me with. It's just got a little issue with it. So now I put on my compression stockings, get in the bed in the morning, I can slip my feet in my tennis shoes that I couldn't wear the day, 2 days ago. So, you know, I learned how to maneuver situations in my life that made it comfortable for me. So, my surgery in October will be my last surgery of my life. I would never have another surgery unless it's dealing with something major dealing with my arteries or something, but my burns, I'm done with it.
And how many have you had?
I think it's like 1,000, maybe more.
Because 1,000?
I've been doing this since I was 2. And I'm 36 and I'm still doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing some laser.
Wow.
That is on a whole nother level. Like, the itching.
Yeah.
From when it's horrible. Now, it did give me some good feedback on my left hand because I have a scar band that's on my right up in here. Mm-hmm. And it was extra tight. And when they did it, it became spongy.
Yeah.
So it feels a whole lot better.
Yeah.
But October of this year will be my last final surgery. I will have no more dealing with my burns.
Let me tell you something right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are amazing.
Thank you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I so agree that you have, like, no one has any right to say anything to you about anything. Because until they walk even 2 inches in your shoes, there's nothing for anyone to say.
Right.
And I'm just so grateful for you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Amazing. You're amazing. Seriously. And I want people watching to understand, people have no idea what you've been through in your life.
Mm.
People have no idea what it takes for you to get up in the morning, what it takes for you to cook, to clean, to put a smile on your face, to get in the shower, to do whatever it is that you do, to love somebody else, to love yourself. Nobody has any idea what it takes for you to do anything that you do.
Right.
And so because they don't have any idea what it takes for you to do what you do, they also don't have any say. They cannot have any say in how you should be, how you should love yourself, how your level of self-esteem. Nobody has any right to say anything to anybody about anything.
Right.
Because it's like, hey, some people just showing up was a huge thing. Okay, exactly.
Right.
And I want people just to be kind and compassionate toward one another, because nobody knows. Like, you don't know.
Really, and just don't.
The fact that you've experienced that many surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
From 2 years old to 36 years old, all of these surgeries, all throughout the years, all these different things, all of this correction, you deserve to motherfucking walk in anywhere you want to. Like, what? What's up? How you doing? I'ma feel all the way good. That is what you deserve. And I'm so excited about that, because I mean, that's what everybody deserves, really. But it's like, I just want people to understand that it's okay to take that. Because people have been through hell in their life and they're still apologizing because they don't have this amount of money. They don't look like that. They didn't do that. They didn't go get this degree. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Right. I don't need approval. Like,
thank you.
Approval for me is from myself and God. That's it. I just want to live, be happy, and be in the midst of people that love me for me.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yes.
That's it. Because the way the world is today is...
Because people are not... like, this work right here,
mm-hmm.
if people see themselves for how valuable they are, if they for a moment just love themselves just for them, not because of the stuff they have, not because of how they look, not because of who they dating, but just because of you. So yeah, it's like if people just love themselves just because they are, because of who they are, not what they got, not who they know, but who they are.
Because
I think that changes things.
That does. But if you are looking for validation from somebody you're dating, somebody you've known 10 years, you're living for them. You're not living for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're actually living how they want you to live. They're looking for you to call them and ask them a question on what you should do. No, it's what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And if you don't like it, then you just don't like it. It is what it is.
So I love that you're saying what you're saying. What is one thing you would say to somebody with visible scars if they are having a hard time, they're trying to get through, but it doesn't seem to be working out? What would you say to them?
The joke inside of me will tell them to suck it up. Mm. You are still living. Mm-hmm. You are brilliant at whatever you choose to do, but stop looking for a validation. Just be who you are. Be who God left you here to be. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a motivational speaker. It may just to be standing up in somebody's face to show them that you are capable of doing whatever you choose to do. Me being on a serious note and I'm close to them, mm-hmm. we're going to have a whole knockout drag out, because I'm not going back to being closed in, or I'm not going back to posting sad things on social media. So if it was my best friend, I would tell her to shut the hell up. Let's go play in makeup or go shopping. And we're going to have a fun-filled day. It is what it is. We are who we are. And we are very resilient people.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much, Clarissa. You are amazing. How can people get in touch with you or follow you on social media? How can they do that?
My Instagram is StrongBurnSurvivor32. My Facebook is Clarissa Grace and Mercy Lane. That's pretty much it until my webpage get done.
Okay. I am so excited. I am looking forward to all the amazing things that you are going to be doing. And thank you for being a part of this show. This is fantastic. Okay. Girl, you didn't say it.
I'm excited.
You wouldn't say about fools, girl. Okay.
Yes.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
All right.
All right.